Okay, I guess we can, this is side two of the interview with Mike Altmaier here at Camp Kewaunee on August the 1st, 1998. Mike, you were beginning to talk about the Spanish.
Yeah, there was a few boys from Puerto Rico when I first came. And then I can't remember the name of the camp. We had, you know, it used to be a camp, Kiniwatha, over in Wilton.
Right.
And it was owned by a family, I think the Roy's family, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. I guess right.
And they owned another camp in New York. And both camps went out of business. And I want to say, I would say mid-70s, early-70s.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been before that. But this boys' camp they owned in New York had a lot of boys from Spain.
I see.
And they were looking for a place to come. And they said, well, to tell you the truth, I own a girls' camp in a place called Wilton, and we're next to, almost next to a boys' camp, and I think it's a very fine boys' camp. And we got a hold of their, a lot of their families, and that really started the Spanish boys coming. We got 10, 20 that year, I think, and basically have kept that number almost since then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that really started the Spanish boys, and that's, you know, I think one of the growing trends in camping in America is the foreign influx. When I first came, it was basically all American except for a few Puerto Ricans, and now we have probably, I would say, 30% of our camp is from European and South American countries. And
are some of them, Morris, generated from the fact of certain old Kewauneeites going to, like, Austria or some other European or Asiatic country and getting young people to come? Or it is interesting how the contact is made between, and I know, I think you have two from Austria, for instance, this year.
Actually, four.
Four?
From Austria.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure. I know the Spanish contact, which you just described.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm not even sure about the other contacts, how
mm-hmm.
it's, you
it's
know,
interesting. We'll have to do some research,
you know,
on
you
that.
Have to do, I do know that I got to know Jorge Granado, who is in, no longer here, but was a longtime camper from Spain.
Uh-huh.
And I just was up last weekend, and we asked him at a social gathering how he came to come to Kewaunee. And I thought he had probably been a connection of other Spanish campers, but he wasn't. He had asked his mother and father to come to a camp in Maine, and he just wanted and asked for all kinds of catalogs. And just picked us
mm-hmm.
out of the hat, so to speak. So maybe this is how some of the other boys come from other countries. But I do remember, now that you've got me on the subject, of course, the year, which I don't know if anybody else has talked about, the year we had the next king of Spain, probably, here,
right.
Prince Philip, and also his cousins, who were the sons of the exiled king and queen of Greece. And I had one of the boys in my lodge, and of course they had security here, and
right.
it was quite an interesting summer. These boys have all since grown up, and occasionally see Prince Philip, especially since he will probably be the next king of Spain, in the newspaper occasionally. And so
I remember walking around camp that summer, and I'd see these rather stone-faced men standing around in different kind of clothing than what others were wearing, and just standing there, and it was just a little eerie to look at that, and yet, of course, this was something that was absolutely necessary. Well, that's interesting. Well, so then you kind of went beyond having a lodge then,
right.
what, in the 80s,
right.
and especially after you became more involved as director of activities.
Right.
And is there any other aspects of the program that you might want to talk about, or any other key individuals that you've worked with? Certainly you've worked with a lot men and perhaps women who have come up to work either like in swimming, Peter Vandenhoenert.
Right.
I'll perhaps be interviewing him later in the day.
Right.
But any other individual, Ezekiel is the person I was trying to...
Bob Ezekiel.
Was he kind of in your crew? Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. He can't remember when he first came. I think it was 66 or 67. You know, got to know him quite well. Of course, he was in my brother's wedding, best man in VA's wedding. Mm-hmm. So he was probably a better friend of VA's than mine, but still a good friend of mine. Went through, even became director of activities for a year or two, or I think helped out at the end of a couple summers when a regular DOA had to go back to school early or something. Worked in archery for most of his career. Was quite a personality. I remember being a very kind of having a set way of doing things, and very strict about the way he did things, and for the good, you know, they were always good things. And I remember, you know, being someone who was quite opinionated about things, and a good friend. You know, he's quite a personality, and haven't seen him in many, many years. He's now in Wyoming, involved in alternative education. In a program at Ohio State, and that's our open education or something, I forget exactly. And he's been in Wyoming for almost 20 years now. And
my goodness.
He keeps, occasionally keeps in contact with us or with BA, and says one of these summers he'll make it east, but haven't seen him for probably close to 20 years, maybe 15. Pete Vanderhunter, I remember, was here the first summer I came back from the Army in 74, and has been here basically ever since, although he's missed a few summers for school and illness. Has been head of swimming, and has made swimming into a great, strong department. It's one of those departments, when in DOA, we don't have to worry about observing and knowing what's going on, because you know you've got Pete out there, and has led the singing for years, and has just been in many different areas of camp with his wife Nancy, who's also had many different jobs here and worked in the kitchen for a while, and is now in archery, where she does a great job. Where Chuck and Barb Comfer, Chuck, I remember just barely my first couple of years. His mother, of course, was the nurse, and I can still remember what he looked like when he came back to visit in '84. I knew exactly who it was. You know, and of course, it was then married with three young children, but. And then I guess Walter needed someone to fill in certain areas the next summer, and he's been here ever since. And
all the way from Texas.
Yeah, it's kind of a second quantity career, because he stopped coming, I think, in 66. But, Mark Nelson, who I worked with the last 8 or 9 years, has been great, very good leader. Probably a lot of the future quantity is in his hands, I think, probably. Although he's jumping the gun here, but...
Well, we hope so.
He's really a great leader, and has his hands on a lot of things at Kewaunee, and I shudder to think where place would be without his great help the last few years. Because he's really helped the Esbrooks out a lot, I think, with organization and recruiting, and he's just a natural, outgoing personality. It'd be great to be a person to run the place. Let's see, we got the Belskises, of course.
Peter.
He came, I guess one of the years I was gone in the Army, he first came, but has been here almost ever since, and his wife works in the camp store and does inspections, Nan, and he's been head of baseball for as many years as I've been here since then, and that's again one of those departments you don't worry about. You know, you've got people out there running it who are very capable, and I guess that's what makes Kewaunee different. Many people have said this, that when they come to many camps, they have the upper echelon, which I guess would be the Esterbrooks for us, and then below that they have maybe one or two senior staff who are kind of the director's activities, but below that they've just got their college age counselors. And everyone who's come here says something unique about us is the number of people we have in that space in between. The people who are like Pete, like Chuck, who are, you know, have been, are 35, 40 years old, and you know, come up with their families, and gives us that nice maturity that a lot of camps don't have.
Carry on the traditions, too.
Right.
Along with those campers who go on to be junior and senior counselors who have the tradition. You have a very strong counselor staff. Was there anything else you kind of want to, observations you want to make, Mike?
We kinda certainly hard to sum up 36 years in an hour, but I know I've forgotten a lot of stories and things like that. But I think I've covered most of the personalities, and I think I've given a pretty good overview of the changes. And I think the place has a nice combination of change and and also consistency. I think people who come back have been away for years, except for the obvious changes like a new dining hall and stuff like that. They don't see a lot of changes in the place as far as physically.
They're there,
the soccer field, but you know, I think the general look of the place, I think for many people, is the same. And I noticed that when I come back. You know, I said in my little sermon the first Sunday of the camp, I gave a sermon, and didn't get to camp this off season, so I remember coming in. I got in at night. It was a Friday night, and I still had some more school to do, but because of an ice storm this year, that I had days to make up. But so I would miss the first 4 days of when the campers were here. But I remember it was dark. I hadn't been on the property for 10 months, and I was gonna winding my way up to Loon Lodge to see if Mark was here and do some talking. And I realized, as I was thinking to myself as I was doing that, that as I maneuvered through the darkness, that I, you know, was stepping over roots where I knew they were.
Right.
You know, pathway. Right. I didn't stumble once, and I realized at that moment that, you know, Kewaunee really is home. You know, that I know it so well that I can jump over the roots.
It's interesting. When I was in the Crow's Nest and had the Crow's Nest as senior counselor for 3 years, and I'd come down there at night to go to the fort or whatever, the roots didn't bother me because I knew where they were too. That's interesting that you bring that up. Well, is there any other individuals that have come to camp that you run across later in your experiences here in Maine or anywhere else that come to mind that you'd want to mention? Any others that might have been in your lodges or who have had, you think, a more than passing influence on the camp, even though they may not have ever spent much time as counselors here?
You know, Steve Yale's had a strong influence, and he's no longer with us on a permanent basis. He's a great leader, and I think has an interest in, you know, still helping run the place through his stock and things like that. People like him, you know, I think of that are not really directly involved with the camp anymore. Can't really think of people around stuff.
What you said is important to me, I think, to even have on tape, and that is that even though there have been people who have no longer come here, like Dick Miller no longer comes here, and from my generation, and even Henry Blau was up here the very next day after the building burned in 77, taking kids into Sears or Penny's to get clothes to replace. They're just, and who was the fellow that was in the tree business that came up right away, and
Proctor.
And you just think of these names as you go by. There is a wealth of people that do, when you have an opportunity to think about it. Well, thanks a lot, Mike, for taking the time here. I know this is a busy Saturday and that there are programs going on today, and I appreciate your taking the time to talk with me this morning.
Thank you.